April 22nd, 2005, President Representative Wilson, Representative Samuels, Representative Moses, myself, Representative Wyrock, and today we're going to take up House Strength Resolution Number 19, which is amending the Constitution to adopt the percent of market value. And this is the similar, or this is identical to House Strength Resolution 26 that passed the House last year. We have before the committee representatives from the Permanent Fund Corporation, Mike Burns and Laura Hashi. And if either of you would care to testify on this at all or provide your testimony, identify yourselves for the record and go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, and the members of the committee. For the record, I'm Mike Burns, Chief Executive Officer of the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation, and I am joined by Laura Hashi, the corporation's research and communications liaison. And I would like to thank you for the introduction of this resolution and your continuing interest in this subject that is so important to the trustees. I would like to talk, I'd like to touch on the main points of why the trustees believe a percent of market payout method is the best way to manage the fund, and then to take any questions that you may have. First of all, I'd like to emphasize that the trustees do not see POMV as a fiscal plan. POMV would not allow the legislature greater access to the earnings in the fund, and in fact, in most years, would lower the amount available for appropriation compared to our current system. The trustees believe that implementation of POMV and the use of permanent fund earnings for state government are two entirely separate issues. POMV is predictable, but much more important, we feel it's understandable by the people of Alaska. Is it any wonder that people are confused and easily misled by the arcane nature of our fund's distribution formula? We manage the fund on a real return methodology. This is quite simply the total return to the fund less inflation equals real return. This is how public and private foundations, pension funds, endowments, and their trustees, directors, and managers view their fiduciary duty and assignment. What then is broken? The current statutory realized income-based distribution formula is. This is the culprit. As opposed to the real return methodology, we are using the confusing and misunderstood formula, or the Alaska version of return and income. Let me walk you through that quickly. We start with income, which is dividends, interest, rent. We add or subtract to that any gains or losses, real and unrealized. From that, we subtract operating expenses. From that, we further subtract any appropriations. This gets us to what we refer to as the accounting net income. Now, what is further very unique to Alaska, from that, we subtract unrealized net income. This gets us to realized net income. From this realized net income, we further subtract, totally unique to Alaska, the income associated with the Amerada Hess money. This, we finally arrive at statutory net income. This is the amount used in the distribution formula. Confusing, out of date, and unworkable are but a few of the adjectives that come to mind. How did we get to this state of confusion? When the fund was created, it was prudent to restrict its investment authority in its early stages to a bond-only strategy. That being the case, it's important to remember that a bond portfolio generates income in only two ways: the interest or coupon income that's actually received, and capital gains from bonds sold at appreciated prices. Both of these types of income are traditional realized net income, and the distribution formula based upon this concept made perfect sense at the time. However, because the fund's asset allocation now incorporates investments that generate significant unrealized gains as well as realized income, the current payout methodology and protection and current method of protection of principal no longer serve the fund as well as they once did. The trustees believe that only a percent of market value payout limited by the sustainable yield from the fund can provide the necessary protection for the future while allowing current generations their equitable share of fund earnings. Furthermore, they believe the only way to fully ensure protection for the fund is to place this limitation in the state's constitution. The percent of market value proposal is simple: no more than 5% of the average market value of the fund averaged over the previous 5 years may be appropriated from the fund. This leaves a minimum of 95% of the fund protected from spending in any given year. As I noted earlier, POMV is not a fiscal plan. And with $50 plus oil, your interest in and focus on a fiscal plan may well be elsewhere. But is this not the opportune time to modernize and increase the transparency of the fund, pardon me, so that it can not only be managed in harmony with its distribution formula, but also understood by Alaskans when difficult decisions must be made in the future? Modernization, clarity, better protection. I urge the committee members to support this proposal, and we're prepared to answer any questions that you might have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Burns. POMV has sort of become like my old days in Boy Scouts at camp when we heard the same thing over and over, the same joke. You just say number one and everybody would laugh. And this is POMV. I just don't know how many times we've talked about this, and there seems to be a fairly well understood or understanding of how it works among those who had to go through this last year. So there may be a few questions by the committee, so we'll go ahead and see. Representative Samuels.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Burns. Can we get copies of your remarks? Mostly just the formula, the realized gains taken out and whatnot. And other than that, I agree with you, Mr. Chairman. It's a no-brainer. We passed it last year.
POMV.
Yeah.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I agree. I think this is the way to go. I think it's very wise for us to do this, and I agree that we do need to do something else besides this for a fiscal plan. But I would like a copy of all of the notes or all of your remarks, if I could, because I have a. I think there's it's very well put, and I have a radio program I'd like to use.
Mr. Chair, we've got to provide those.
Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ah, here she comes. I had promised that I would have for the committee a statutory POMV, and I just received it about 10 minutes ago. Do you want me to pass it out?
Sure, pass it out. It's not HJR 19 is what's before the committee now, but I think that it's appropriate to pass that out in the context.
And if I may, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hijack the meeting, but something.
We're going to try and take action on this today anyway. I was going to try and take action on HGR 19 anyway today. One thing, let me ask Representative Grunberg first. Laura, did you have any testimony?
No, I did not.
Okay, thank you. Representative Grunberg.
This was drafted essentially during the special session for me as an amendment. Did you guys get a copy of this?
Oh, I'm sorry.
As an amendment to the legislation that was introduced by the governor that never really got onto the floor, and we just had it put up as a separate bill, and it basically would be a statute rather than a constitutional amendment, and of course cannot authorize getting into the principle of the fund. But it's for the chair and the committee's edification, and no pride in authorship. And as far as I'm concerned, if the chair would like, or the member and the members would like, I'm happy to authorize Cam Cook. I'll turn the bill over to the committee's chair for any wish. I would think if we're going to put it in or deal with something like this, my recommendation goes to the committee.
Sure. Statutory PMV is certainly discussed as an alternative to the constitutional one. I'm not sure the corporation has any comments or thoughts on this right now since we've all been sort of hit with it. But as the committee sort of charged with brainstorming alternative forms of revenues, this may fall within that category, Representative Grunberg. So.
And by the way, I also have a memo, several memos from David Teal on the subject. I have a memo dated June 23, the final paragraph of which speaks to the same thing that Tam says in her memo. And if the committee wants to deal with this, I will ask David's permission, since the rest doesn't have anything to do with this, but has to do with the rest of another bill to redact that and put that.
Why don't we get the rest of the committee's comments on H.R. 19 and then and Mr. Burns' testimony, and then we do have public testimony.
I'm sorry.
Representative Samuels?
I'll.
Okay. What, can you all stay here? Just. We have Ed Martin online from Cooper Landing. Mr. Martin, can you give us your name and affiliation and your testimony?
Yes, my name is Ed Martin, Sr., and I am from Cooper's Landing. And good morning, Mr. Weirach and the committee.
Good morning.
I have got a statement here that I had probably, you already got a copy of, a very short statement, but I'd like to add on to it if I could.
Sure, and then we'll ask you questions. Go ahead.
There you go. Anyhow, the statement reads as follows. There is absolutely no compelling reason to change the present arrangement of earnings payout. Leave it, the permanent fund, alone unless it's put into the Constitution as it is currently managed. I believe that, as many other individuals here feel the same way, and that's why I put it in such direct terms. What has happened, and over, I have been a resident at Alaska before statehood, and there's many of us like me who are, got a long term, and we feel that with this amount of funds that we're talking about, up in the $30 billion category, that when we look at what use we get out of that money or what direct good comes to each individual is very, very, very small. And that comes in the way of a dividend or, like I say, there is government things that need to be taken care of, but it's out of our the way it's set up right now. Our say so is very little. I initiated that September 14th, 99 vote to see what people thought of this condition, and obviously you know the result of that. They don't want you monkeying with it without their vote. And I see in your 19 here, this bill, that it does speak of a vote. But we got a problem here that needs solving much, much more than juggling these ways and means to invest this money. First of all, most of this money, as you know, is invested outside the state. Somewhere around 99%. That means like having a Cadillac in your yard and you can't drive it. It don't do us any good when it's invested outside the state. We'd like to see more investment in the state. Now, if he was talking about that, I think a lot of us would join in and help find a way to make that not only profitable but secure. As it is right now, this money that's invested outside the state, the only thing that we really realize out of it is our dividend, and then we see this bill coming up and saying, okay, we're not going to allow it to go any further than this percentage or whatever road you want to travel with it. We don't accept that. And I strongly urge the committee and the permanent fund investors to start looking at what direct good it does to the individuals, the citizen, the state of Alaska. Now, when people are getting good by the investment outside, whatever their investment may be, that don't help me a bit or any of the other citizens, only how much it will make. And I look at your record since 99 to now, I don't see a growth of that fund in such large quantities that it's really doing me as citizen of the state of Alaska any good. So I think we need a revamping, all right, but not in the way you're going about it. I think the bill should not pass. I think you should look in drafting some kind of a bill that would look into helping the citizens of Alaska much, much more than what this bill does. Presently, at least, we do get a dividend. At least it's not being monkeyed with, and maybe the people will start getting their trust back into your legislators and the people who are investing this money. But if you start monkeying with it more, all I can tell you is truly that the people do not trust you right now, and that trust factor is going to go down. I sure would be glad to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. One of the nice things about this provision we have in front of us is that it does go to the vote of the people, so there will be that public debate.
Yes, I totally agree. That is true. But as it is written, I can almost guarantee you that the people are not going to buy it. I speak to a lot of the Larry Lunchbox people on the street, and they call me up, and being they know I somewhat interested in this, they want to know my opinions. They tell me their opinions. And as it is written right here, believe me, the people are not going to buy it, in my view. As I say, maybe you know something more than I do, but I think the direction here is wrong. I think if you want to help the citizens of Alaska instead of monkeying with this thing and making it more complicated, and most of all, the people's trust is involved, and it's really on a low ebb with the people who are investing this and the legislature in the direction it's following.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Martin? Thanks for talking with us this morning, Mr. Martin.
You're welcome. Thanks for listening.
You betcha. Is there anyone else who cares to testify or anyone else online we missed? All right. Any more committee comments or deliberations on HJR 19? Yes, Representative Samuels.
Thank you. I had a couple of comments on the difference between the statutory, and I think the problem with the statutory one is the good thing about POMV is in bear markets and bull markets, it stabilizes the cash flow. It just, you don't have to worry so much about the day-to-day market fluctuations. And as far as this, what we do with the money, that's not addressed here at all. You could still pay it all out in dividends. There were a couple of instances in the last couple of years where there were no earnings because the market tanked and there would have been zero dividend. So I think POMV, it keeps actually the politicians' hands off the money. Right now, I don't know how much is in the earnings reserve right now, in general terms.
10.6, isn't it?
At this point, 1.3, so actually close to $2 billion.
So we have $2 billion that we could appropriate tomorrow. We could appropriate $2 billion tomorrow. Mm-hmm. P1B actually limits the amount that the legislature can appropriate. It stabilizes the cash flow, which is actually, depending on the methodology used for the dividend, it's actually good to stabilize that or the dividend. And I realize the political realities of the statutory, but you still don't save the market fluctuation problem. You still haven't erased that line between the corpus and the earnings. You kind of blurred it a little bit is all. And if the market completely tanked, there would be no earnings to pay out the money. And that's you're missing out one of the big things of the good things about POMV. So with that, when you're ready for a motion, I support the bill.
We've got a lot of testimony here. We're going to close public testimony at this point, and we have Representative Grunberg, then Representative Wilkberg.
Just to respond to one thing that Representative Samuels said, the problem that people have, Ms. Parkinson, and I join in this, is that it's very important, and at least in our opinion, I think that the legislature can't get in any manner into the principle of the fund. Now, I realize that both under current law and constitution, and if we were to do a statutory, that you still couldn't do that, and so there would be the possibility that in some years there would be no dividend if the the stock market had completely tanked, the earnings completely tanked, or investments. However, I do think that that's the way the current system is set up, and I think that most people who are knowledgeable about this in the state do understand that, and the trade-off is that what they get for that is the protection of the principal. It's a trade-off. I don't know any way you can absolutely protect the principal and still absolutely guarantee a dividend if the world goes to hell and we have another depression. I don't know any way of solving. I think they're either or.
Representative Rookberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple items. First, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent of the committee that the entire record of the Ways and Means deliberations on the POMV concept in HGR 26 of the 23rd legislature be made part of the record of this bill for its constitutional history, the meanings, and the giving amount of testimony that we took in the last legislative session on this issue. I think it's an important historic document which should be part of the record.
Mr. Chair, could I respond to that? Raise an objection for discussion only. Would you be willing to amend that to include the record of all committees?
Well, why don't we just deal with Ways and Means, and then they can go on to the next committee.
That's fine.
Is there an objection to the motion?
I withdraw my objection.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I could.
This motion's adopted.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Perez, I appreciate your comments earlier today regarding the calculations and how the corporation determines the dividend and what you have to go through. My recollection is, and from your comments this morning, it has to do with the constitutional law that we have, as well as the statutory formulation, as well as the corporation's regulations, and what I rather charitably call windage, in the sense that you have to make certain decisions sometimes about how to, and assumptions when you make the calculation. And if you, I think that that's part of the testimony you had today about how the statute is broken, if you will. And I think that's an important concept for the people to understand and the public to understand. You have to make some of these assumptions outside. We do have this body of law, but I mean it doesn't actually complete the final calculation. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Rookberg, I'm having trouble following. We follow actually a pretty well defined. It's well defined, but confusing and arcane method. But
in the main, if I might help you. Myself, but the question is that it has a lot to do with the realized gains and how you, and the timing of it, and so there's several things and assumptions you have to make to fit in there, as I desire.
Through the chair, Representative Rookberg, I think those things are pretty well defined. I'm not following the question.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we did have testimony for this committee in the past from Mr. Bartholomew. It's indicated that that was the case, and I just
through the chair, Representative Rookberg, as Mr. Burns has said, we do follow a pretty well laid out calculation. What could vary is the amount of realized earnings that are available, and that could be artificially changed by the action of the trustees or by direction from the legislature. Is that what you're referring to?
Well, that's in part, and maybe perhaps Mr. Burns, if you could indicate then why you believe the statute's broken. That was part of your testimony this morning.
Through the chair, Representative Rookberg, I think a distribution formula that is based upon realized income, as I said, made perfect sense when you had a portfolio that was 100% in bonds. I mean, that was perfectly logical. But it doesn't fit with how the fund is managed today. To take out either realized or unrealized gains from the distribution formula, from the return, from the real return. As I said, we manage this for the total return. We deduct inflation, and that gets us a real return. That is the type of thought process, you know, or the type of accounting I think that the distribution formula should be based upon, not this taking out unrealized gains and losses and Amrata Hess and all. I think that's exactly, or it leads to a great extent why people are so confused, why everybody has their own opinion of what we have. We heard the gentleman from Cooper Landing talking about some of the constitutional protections. There's only two pieces of the permanent fund in the Constitution. It's the 25% that goes in and the protection of the principal that Representative Gruenberg spoke to. Is that getting to where?
Yeah. Let me just, if you would, I would appreciate a memorandum on the formula you talked about and how you calculate the dividend. If you could provide the members of the committee at a later date with the copy of that calculation and your testimony this morning on that, that would be helpful.
Through the chair, would Representative Roekberg, there's actually two. Would you want
in my file here?
There's actually the dividend calculation formula, and then there's the accounting calculation that we determine what's available for the dividend formula. Did you want both of those? Because it's a two-step process.
Right, I would.
Okay, we'd be glad to do that.
I think that's what leads up to my prior question, and I'll be happy to talk to you about that later. But I think it's central to the issue that is broken. There's been some movements afoot historically to even memorialize the current statute in the Constitution, which I think is a huge problem because there are problems with it, and that's what I'm getting at. We can identify that, you know, for the record and later on. I'd appreciate that. Also, just in conclusion, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to emphasize the point made by Representative Samuels about the experience of the earnings reserve where we found ourselves in the third quarter of 2002 where the earnings reserve was in the red. And that is one of the problems with the statutory PLMV, which I call it the kind of the training wheels PLMV. It has merit in the sense that if we couldn't reach the constitutional authority of it, it may be a one way that the legislature could experiment, if you will, with it and help educate the public. The trouble is it's almost valueless in the sense that it doesn't protect the downside market situation where you may end up with having no money to pay dividends or use any of the earnings reserve if you so desire. And that's one of the problems with it, as I see. So, and Mr. Chairman, just as a concluding remark, I appreciate you taking this up. I envision this as a simple mechanism process, and as the chairman has said, this isn't the long-range fiscal plan. This is a central mechanism, however, to one. And that's why I believe that we have an opportunity to place this on the next general election ballot if we don't weigh it down or encumber it with other statutory baggage, if you will, and just focus on the concept as a mechanism in and of itself. Thank you, sir.
Thanks. Representative Gruenberg.
Yeah, just to respond to one thing, I appreciate the training wheel analogy. And if I may mix our metaphors, when you make sausage, you may not get it seasoned exactly to your taste, but at least it comes out and gets to the market.
All right. Further committee deliberation on this or questions? Any further comments? Representative Wilson.
Are you ready for a motion? Mm-hmm. I move House Joint Resolution 19, Version A, out of this committee with individual recommendations.
Okay. Is there objection?
There's a fiscal
note.
Yeah.
Okay. See no objection. The bill moves from committee. We have on Monday three things, two constitutional amendment resolutions. The first is going to be House Joint Resolution 1 on a balanced budget amendment, House Joint Resolution 2 on a gas revenue fund, and then at the end of the meeting, House Bill 223. And then, unless there's compelling reason, that Monday will be our last meeting. Sort of jamming towards the end of the session, but I may revisit that, but that's sort of tentatively what we'll do. Okay, committee's adjourned till Monday.